This is Here and Now. The proposed $45 billion merger between Comcast and Time Warner Cable, the nation's top two cable companies, is drawing a great deal of scrutiny, not the least of which comes from Time Warner's own shareholders. One recently launched a potential class action lawsuit to block the deal. However, if the merger does go through, the new cable giant would control 30% of the U.S. cable market. Here's what Comcast CEO Brian Roberts recently told CNBC.
The deal is pro-competitive, it's pro-consumer. We're going to be able to bring better products, faster internet, more channels, on-demand, TV everywhere, and a national, local platform that's really special.
Well, our next guest does not agree. David Balto is a public interest antitrust lawyer and former policy director at the Federal Trade Commission. He's against this merger and doesn't think it will go through. And David, first, respond to Brian Roberts' assertion we just heard that the merger is pro-consumer.
Oh, Brian couldn't be more wrong. What this is going to do is handcuff customers to their cable provider, Comcast, and enable Comcast to charge more. But even more troubling is the fact that it's going to be in a position where it will be able to prevent future forms of competition. You know, all consumers now look for ways of cutting the cable, and for good reason. Cable prices are excessive here in the United States and rapidly increasing. But this will put Comcast in the kingmaker's position where it can prevent these alternative forms of competition.
Don't cable companies in many places essentially already have a local monopoly because people don't really have a choice as to who their provider can be?
Well, you have a choice at some point in time between which provider you're going to use. But I think the key here is to be forward-looking. There has been an increase in innovation and choices provided by firms to cut the cable. This will put Comcast in a position that it can squelch those emerging forms of competition.
Can you explain to me a little bit more about why you think Comcast will have that kind of power?
Well, first, they have control over NBC's content, which is really vital to potential competitive alternatives.
Because of their previous merger with NBC Universal.
That's correct. Second, Comcast will be in a position that it's really going to be able to control what kind of content gets to the marketplace because it's going to be so dominant. Instead of having a 22% share of the overall cable market, it'll have a 30% share of the cable market. So if you're a new content provider, you're going to have to make a deal with Comcast, and that may restrict your ability to deal with some of the people trying to cut the cable.
Now, when it comes to when the government steps in and blocks a merger, I remember the proposed AT&T-T-Mobile merger, that if that one had gone through, which it did not, it would have given AT&T 43% of the mobile market in the United States, a huge chunk. And as you said a little earlier, this Comcast merger would give Comcast 30% of the market. I mean, is there a sense as to what's the tipping point?
So the Justice Department, which has become much more aggressive at antitrust enforcement in the last couple years, has been able to bring cases even with relatively modest market shares. They've really become sort of the Seattle Seahawks of antitrust. So the law basically says that once you're at a 30% market share, competitive concerns arise. But I think what's crucial here is you really can't get to the market unless you get access to Comcast cable subscribers.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned that the government has been more proactive in terms of investigating proposed mergers. And in fact, the Justice Department has halted a number of very high-profile ones in recent years. We talked about AT&T and T-Mobile. There was also H&R Block and Tax Act. Do you see this sense of proactive investigation, that it's going to actually play a role here in the proposed Comcast merger?
You know, the Department of Justice was very aggressive in the Comcast-NBC merger. I think they're going to be even more aggressive today, having seen over the past couple of years how Comcast has increasingly raised prices and reduced the level of service to consumers.
So let's talk a little bit more for a second about that Comcast-NBC Universal merger, because it did go through, you know, regardless of the scrutiny from the Justice Department. And I understand that you represented the Writers Guild in opposing that merger, which, again, regardless, it went through. So what are the lessons that you draw from that case to this new Comcast proposal?
Well, that was a smaller acquisition in a certain sense because they weren't direct cable competitors. Here, the firms are direct cable competitors. And in turn, they will be able to, for example, depress compensation to content providers, new networks. But more importantly, because of the extra power they're getting from merging with Time Warner, Comcast will be able to discriminate against those firms that are offering alternative services that would enable consumers to go without cable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's much more problematic than it was in Comcast NBC.
Well, David, there's also a fairly interesting political story here because Bill Baer, who's currently the head of the antitrust division at the Department of Justice, he was the head of the law firm that represented NBC several years ago during the Comcast-NBC merger. So he's been on the other side of this. I mean, a lot of people have said there's something of a revolving door between regulators and the industry here. Is this not an example of that very case?
Yeah, I think generally when private practitioners get positions in the agencies, they take their oath of office very, very seriously. In this case, I think that kind of expertise is going to help consumers. Bill knows the strengths and weaknesses of the arguments that were made in the earlier case and will be able to fight back against them aggressively.
And finally, David, even though many millions of Americans have cable service, there are other options. So how does this proposed merger, or how would it affect Comcast's sort of non-cable rivals?
I think there's a tremendous threat to those non-cable rivals and the people who subscribe to those services. Again, Comcast will be the kingpin when it comes to content. They'll be able to determine the price of content and what content makes it to the market. And there are real-world examples of this. Remember, Comcast owns the regional sports networks in almost all of its markets. And what it does is provide discriminatory access or no access at all to alternative forms of distribution, alternatives such as DirecTV and Dish. That obviously adversely affects their ability to effectively compete.
Well, David Balto is a public interest antitrust lawyer and former policy director at the Federal Trade Commission. David, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, as you heard, if the merger goes through, Comcast would control 30% of the U.S. cable market. That probably or might include you. Let us know what you think at hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.